Okay, if you want to turn to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. We're going to actually read from the end of chapter 11, verse 31. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarah, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years and he died in Haran. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household." The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moriah at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who appeared to him. From there, he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued towards the Negev. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarah, "I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife.' Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sister so that I will be treated well for your sake and my life will be spared because of you." When Abram came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that she was a very beautiful woman. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. He treated Abram well for her sake, and Abram acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, men servants and maid servants and camels. But the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abraham's wife, Sarah. So Pharaoh summoned Abraham. "What have you done to me?" he said. "Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister so that I took her to be my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." Then Pharaoh gave orders about Abraham to his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything he had. Now, there's three different types of people in life. Well, there's three different zones, if you like, let's put it that way, that we can live in our lives. One is the comfort zone, one is the stretch zone, and one is the panic zone. Okay? And many of us, when we hear things and when we watch films and when we hear exciting stories and we hear what God is doing, as is happening with George, that's the stretch zone. And we hear all these stories, we hear how God wants us to be, how he wants us to live, and he always puts it in the context of living in the stretch zone. But so often that challenges us because it challenges everything about us that is comfortable and is safe and keeps us in control of what is going on. But then there seems to be moments in life where we step into the panic zone and we begin to freak out. Now, I want to look at those three things in relation to what was happening with Abraham, but also in relation to next year for us as a church. So I just need a bit of help here. If we're talking about the comfort zone, living in that kind of environment, what does that mean? I mean, it'd be good for some of you guys to shout out some words that describe living in the comfort zone. Easy, okay? If you can just rattle that. We're going to type a few things up. So living in the comfort zone, easy. Anything else? What was that? Safe, okay? Anything else?
Boring,
okay? Boring. All right, put that in capital letters. Okay, boring. Anything else? What's that?
Dry and dusty.
Dry and dusty, okay? Dry and dusty. Anything else? Pardon?
Harmless.
Marvelous. Well, we'll leave marvelous for one of the other ones, all right? That's a good one, but we'll put it in another one in a minute, okay? Just for the comfort zone. Anything else?
Familiar.
Familiar, okay? Anything else? No growth, okay?
Powerless.
Powerless, okay?
Lazy.
Are you keeping up back there? Cool. Very good. Okay. What else?
Routine.
What?
Routine.
Routine. Yeah. No challenge. Okay.
Settled.
Everybody say settled. It's a weird word. Settled. You have to. Anyway. Okay. Anything else? Pardon? What was that?
Dead.
Okay, dead. Well, we're really going for it now. If you come, faithless. Okay.
Compromising.
Compromising. This is quite a morbid picture here we're building up with the comfort zone. Anything else? Somebody had to say it, didn't they? Comfortable. Who was that? Give him a round of applause, whoever that was. Tim White. Stand up, Tim. Let's welcome Tim back. Normally he's up in London. It's great to see you, mate. Just be a bit more creative in the next one you say. Give us another one. You're at university. You should be really sparking with ideas. What's another? Great. That's yeah, that is. When you're in the comfort zone, you don't know what to do. So that's a good one. Thanks, Tim. Very quick off the mark there. Excellent. Okay, so we've got a few things here for the comfort zone. I'm going to pick up on one or two other things in a minute. Okay, now the stretch zone. What do you think it's going to be like if you're living in the stretch zone? Let's shout a few things out about the stretch zone.
On fire.
On fire, okay.
Hard work.
Hold on a minute. Can we just... Is there any way of going to another blank page and doing stretch zone? Just like that. That's it. On fire. Anything else?
Uncomfortable.
What?
Uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable. Okay, yep. Yeah, nice one. That's Sir Tim's slightly older brother. That's a little bit more... There's a creative streak running through the White family. Stating the obvious, which sometimes we often miss. So that's very good. Thanks, guys. Uncomfortable. Very good. Challenge, okay? Challenge.
Risky.
Risky.
Unpredictable.
Exciting.
Exciting. Yes.
Daring. Did somebody say daring?
Scary.
Scary. Okay, scary, whatever. Unknown.
Hard work.
Hard work.
Obedient.
Flexible.
Flexible.
Painful.
Painful. Painful. We say painful. We're not talking about childbirth this morning, we're talking about being in the stretch zone. Although, yeah, okay, painful, yeah, stretch zone, okay. That was my wife, she's had three kids, so... okay, any others for the stretch zone? Pardon? What was that?
Competent.
Competent, okay. Anything else for the stretch zone? Freshness or fresh vision, yep. What was that?
Faith-filled.
Okay, yeah, it's a place of faith, yep.
Stretching.
Now, you're at uni as well, aren't you? I tell you, we've got to take our hats off to the education system in our nation. Just some of the very creative answers we've had from that area of the building... showed all the money that we're paying in taxes that goes to education is being very well spent. So, well done, guys. Yeah. Anything else? One or two more? Holding tight to God, okay? Fun.
Yes.
Creative.
Dangerous.
Adventurous. Okay, that'll do for now. We'll come back to some more of these. All right, we get some good words here. Okay, now the panic zone. Okay, panic zone. Just shout out a few. What would it be like to live in the panic zone? That's another bright answer from another uni student. Panic. Let's put it up there before somebody else says it as well. Panic.
Restless.
Fear. Pardon?
Fear.
Fear, okay.
Anxious.
Scary. What was that one?
Loose cannon.
Loose cannon. Okay, yep.
Unsure,
okay.
Reactionary.
Stressful.
Sleepless.
Pardon?
Sleepless.
Yep. Yeah. There's some good words here. One or two more.
Untrusting.
What was that?
Untrusting.
Okay.
Unpredictable.
You were, yeah, if you're panicking, you can be unpredictable. What was that? One more?
Fruitless.
Okay, great. Well, that'll do for now. Otherwise, we'll run out of time. You didn't realise this was a CBeebies programme this morning, did you? So, okay, now here's Abraham. And at the end of chapter 11 of Genesis, it says that his father took Abraham and his family and everything. And it says that they were to actually go to Canaan. But on the way, they stopped at Ur of the Chaldeans and they settled there. Now, God's purpose was that they moved on from there, but they settled and they became comfortable where they were for whatever reasons. And in that kind of comfort zone, there was no movement. And God had to turn up into Abraham's life and he began to speak to him and he began to speak to him to call him out of what was comfortable, out of what was safe, out of what was in one sense where he had total control over his life and his circumstances. And God began to speak to him to call him out of his comfortable life and his comfort zone into the call, into the purposes of God, so that what God wanted to do could be fulfilled. And God begins to speak to him and he says, leave your country, your people and your father's household. Leave everything that you know that gives you your security. I want to step you into the unknown. Because in that place, that's where my purpose, that's where my kingdom, that's where the fruitfulness, that's where the supply is, that's where the things of God are, that's where the grace is, that's where the favor is, that's where you're going to see me do things that you won't see if you stay where you are. Now, he begins to speak to him and he says that you're to go to a land that I will show you. So he doesn't initially show him where he's got to go. He says, you've got to stand up, begin to make a move and begin to step from where you're comfortable into a place where you're going to be stretched. Now, we've defined some things in these lists that define the stretch zone. Now, all of us will live in one of those zones in some way, but we will all step into different ones of those zones at different times. So you might live in the stretch zone generally in your life, but there'll be times where you just settle a bit, but there'll be times when you panic. Now you might live in the comfort zone and there'll be times when you step into the stretch zone, but if you're comfortable, you're unlikely to really get into a panic mode. If you live in the panic zone, then come forward, we'll pray for you, okay, and get things sorted out. But if you live in the panic zone, then you'll be very unpredictable. You don't know which way you're going to turn. Nobody knows how to read you, deal with you, or handle you, because there's just so much that is sparking off in your life that there's no basis in which your life is being built around. Now, hopefully we haven't got any or many people here living in the panic zone. But we just want to look at how do these three things, how did Abraham live and how did he deal with these things? Because next year, God is taking us into a place where as a church, we're going to be living in the stretch zone. And in the natural, we'll want to feel like, well, can't we just relax a little bit and just get a bit more comfortable and maybe do a little bit more of what we know. God wants to take us into the stretch zone so that every one of us begins to live and do things that we have not done before. When God spoke to Abraham, he said, come out of what you know and what you've done and step into something that you've never done before. You see, if we live in the stretch zone for a certain period of time, that stretch zone can become the comfort zone. Because we get used to the life that we have, the steps that we've taken, and the way God is working in our lives. And after a while, we can get used to that, and that then can become comfortable. Then God has to come along and say, hey, don't just rest in what you've got. Don't just stay comfortable, but keep moving and let me to continue to stretch you. Now, Abraham here, God speaks to him. So in verse 4, he left, as the Lord had told him, and he took Lot with him. He was 75 years old, Abraham, which was well into his years. He took his wife, his nephew, and all his possessions, and they began to move towards, set out for the land of Canaan. Now, so he stepped out into the stretch zone. Now, there's a situation that arises here where there's a famine in the land. Now, it doesn't say that God actually told him to go down to Egypt, but there was a famine in the land. It said Abraham went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. Now, up to this point, Abraham's been in the stretch zone. He stepped into the unknown. He's having to trust God. He's having to be, if you like, dependent on the Holy Spirit to move them forward, to lead them forward. But here comes some circumstances that challenge the stretch zone that he's stepped into with God. The circumstances say that food is in short supply. There's a famine in the land. And so he decides to go down to Egypt where there's going to be food, where there's going to be supply. Maybe there was some thinking we'll be a bit more comfortable there. It'd be a bit safer there. Maybe there was some wisdom saying, well, I'll be able to keep my family and everything well supported. But in order to go into that land, which represented being comfortable, he stepped into the panic zone. And he said to Pharaoh, he said to his wife, first of all, when we go there, you're not my wife, you're my sister. So when we tell, that's what we're going to tell them. So when they arrived, this is my sister, Sarah. So Sarah was taken into Pharaoh's household as one of his wives. Instead of staying in the stretch zone and trusting God, he stepped into the panic zone. In the panic zone, you become irrational. You become illogical. You begin to bend the truth or even begin to tell lies. You look at the circumstances and make decisions according to the circumstances and what you think will happen. So therefore you adjust how you look at things and make some decisions to trust in yourself and your own abilities, trying to work out how you think it will happen. And so Abraham at that time stepped into the panic zone and said, I think we're going to handle it this way. You're my sister, not my wife. They get into that environment, and what happens? Pharaoh and his whole household begin to, there's diseases that begin to run rampant. There's a whole misunderstanding that goes on. And Pharaoh comes to him and says, why didn't you tell me this was your wife and not your sister? He told everybody, leave these guys alone, send them away. You can't be here. We don't want you to be here. And in one sense, Abraham was thrust out from that comfort zone back into the stretch zone with God. Because we can only live for so long in a panic zone. We can only live for so long trying to adjust because maybe there's fears or circumstances trying to dictate our lives. And there's only so long we can live there because God will constantly want to bring us back into the stretch zone. So God not only leads us out of the comfort zone into the stretch zone, God will also want to use circumstance situations to get us out of the panic zone back into the stretch zone. So whichever way we live, and we're in the stretch zone with God, being dependent on the Holy Spirit, There's two tensions. One is, I just want to be a little bit more comfortable, a bit more safe, a bit more sure of how things are, a bit more, I just know I feel in control, I'm in charge. But then there's this tension from being in the stretch zone at times, and you've probably all had this at some point, where you just feel like, I can't handle this, I don't know where it's going to go, I feel like I'm going to freak out, just lose my mind, just go off the edge, and all that. Anybody had that? Hopefully all of us at some point, that, you know, we're not so in, you know, calling our lives with God that we've never wanted to either shrink back or never felt like just freaking out and just giving it all up and just not knowing how to handle it. And if we're going to live in the stretch zone, then we're living with that all the time because we want to move on with God. We want to walk with God. We want to be led by the Holy Spirit. But in all of that that goes on, there's always an edge with God that where you're like, are you really, you know God's in charge, but it's like God will lead us on the edge all the time. But yet you know when you're shrinking back a bit, everything just seems to go off the boil a bit. Somebody said boring. Things become monotonous. Things seem to go around in circles. There doesn't seem to be that spark of life. And that's like a warning signal. Going off in your spirit. You've taken your foot off the accelerator. Get back into the stretch zone. Get right into the middle of it so that you can be stretched. Now, I just want to bring one or two other things out about particularly the comfort zone and the stretch zone that I felt that hasn't necessarily been brought out with some of the answers. Now, how many of you, you watch sports programs and you have all the sports pundits? You know, all the ex-pros. You know, and all the armchair critics, you know. Anybody watch Match of the Day or you watch the cricket or you watch any sport that's on telly, there's so often a panel of pundits, aren't there, that have got their expert opinion. And it's all in hindsight, isn't it? You know, they're all sitting there after the game or after the event, all saying, well, if they'd done that, then that would have happened. And, you know, but if you listen to what they said before the game, they didn't have a clue. They were like, well, I think it might go like this, and I think it might do that, and I think the game will go like that. And then at the end, they're saying, well, that was completely not what we were expecting. But yet, sitting on the couch with all the comments and all the things, it sounds like they're a bunch of experts because they're ex-pros. And what they've become is opinionated. They've become, if you use this, critical. They've been asked to make comments about people who are living in the stretch zone, but now these armchair guys are now living in the comfort zone, sitting on their couches, looking at those in the stretch zone, coming out with all their opinions as to how they think they should be living in the stretch zone. Now, I don't want to be somebody who lives in the comfort zone, who's looking at everybody who's doing something. And the reason why it bugs me is because they're doing something that I'm not. So I begin to come out with my armchair opinions about what they are or aren't doing or what they should do. But not living in the stretch zone myself, trying to have a go and work it out. Are you there? What is living in the comfort zone? Living in the comfort zone is primarily deciding to please yourself rather than reckoning yourself dead and alive in Christ. You see, when you live in the stretch zone, you have to reckon yourself dead all the time. When you're living in the comfort zone, you're aware of all your weaknesses, but you let your weaknesses determine your decisions. When you live in the stretch zone, you're still aware of all your weaknesses, but you let the faith that is in you and the things that God is doing determine the decisions you make, not the weaknesses that you know you have. You see, we will always be aware of all the weaknesses we have for the rest of our lives. But living in the stretch zone says, I'm aware of all that, but I'm putting that second to what I know God has said. Even though as I move forward, sometimes I feel weak or I feel inadequate or I don't feel like I've got everything. But because I know God has said this, because God has shown me that, I'm going to keep moving forward even though I don't feel like I've got everything I need, but I'm still going to move forward because I have got everything I need. And there's this tension in the stretch zone, isn't there? You're aware of your weaknesses, but you know who God is. You're aware of frailties, but you know His strength and what He's about. In this stretch zone, you have to reckon yourself dead. Where is the fruit? Where is the movement in God? All those things are in the stretch zone. Next year for us as a church, God is moving us into the stretch zone. That we live there. That's where we know we belong. It's like the stretch zone is our home. One of the things that God has said about next year, the scripture, 1 Corinthians 4:20, which is the kingdom of heaven is not a matter of talk, but power. That is in the stretch zone. The kingdom of heaven is not a matter of power, but talk is the comfort zone. Okay, it's the scripture the other way around. But the stretch zone is the kingdom is not talk, but power. Now, depending on the Holy Spirit is in the stretch zone. The harvest is in the stretch zone. Fruitfulness is in the stretch zone. Now, how many of you have ever had a conversation with somebody and you talk about something but never make a decision? How many of you have said, oh, I really want to lose weight. I want to lose 2 stone. Or I want to lose a stone or something. You say, I want to lose weight. And you talk about something with somebody, oh, I want to lose weight, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And you talk about it, but at the end, you never make a decision. Or the person says, well, okay, let's do this together. You know, if you want to lose 2 stone, what about starting with 0.5 stone? Do you reckon you could lose that? Well, yeah, I could lose half. Well, what do you think you need to do then to lose 0.5 stone? Well, I'd probably eat a little bit less and, you know, a bit of exercise. Well, what exercise would you like to do? Well, I don't know. I haven't got time to go to the gym. Well, what would you look? Well, I could go walking. Okay, well, maybe you could walk 4 or 5 times a week. Go for 4 or 5 20-minute brisk 20-minute walks. Well, that's a good idea. Why don't you start tomorrow? Now, when we talk about things like this, if we talk, I'd like to lose weight, we're in the comfort zone. Because if it wasn't an issue, we wouldn't be talking about it. So we're living here, enjoying our food or whatever we're doing. This is just an example, okay? So don't get at me that I'm talking about, you know, you're talking about me. But why in this moment? Why? We need somebody else sometimes to say, okay, let's do this together. So in the next 2 months, let's see if we can both lose 0.5 stone. So what should we do? Let's do 20-minute walks 4 or 5 times a week. Let's make a decision that we need to cut back on eating this and this and this, because it doesn't mean you've got to go on a massive diet. I think sometimes it's just being a bit more disciplined, but sometimes we need somebody else to be disciplined with us. Yeah. To say, let's both step into the stretch zone together. Let's make some very simple decisions that we can see are possible, and let's encourage our faith by doing what we're going to do. Now, maybe in a couple of months or maybe less, you both lose 0.5 stone. This is obviously a made-up situation here, and great, we've lost, you know, I lost just over half, oh, so did I, well, come on, let's keep going, let's lose another 0.5 stone. Maybe 6 months later, you've both lost 2 stone. But in the comfort zone of our lives, we look at what God says, or we look at what it means to take a step, and we look from here to the 2 stone and say, well, I don't know how I could lose 2 stone overnight. I don't know how I could get there overnight. And God says, I'm not asking you to get there overnight. I'm taking you to take a step, one after the other, into that stretch zone, so that as you take one step after another, you'll begin to see more and more quickened and accelerating in your life. Now, I think for every one of us, you know, we make New Year's resolutions and all that sort of thing. Well, some people do. I think to step into the stretch zone, every one of us probably needs to make some kind of decision to do something next year that we've never done before. Now, that might be something to do with physical condition. It might be an idea you've got that you want to do something in terms of a hobby or a sport or an interest. It might be something to do with witnessing or something to do in the workplace. It might be you have got an idea to create wealth or make some money in that respect. And so you're thinking, well, I'll have a go. Because so often what we do is we think a lot about stuff in the comfort zone, but we never take that step into the stretch zone. In the comfort zone, we all say yes and amen to everything God wants to do, but then often don't necessarily then take those steps into the stretch zone. And then we look back here in the comfort zone saying, well, when I thought this and this was what God was saying and what he was doing, but we still seem to be here and not here. Now, I believe generally as a church, we live in the stretch zone. Hopefully with that kind of church where we're not just wanting to be comfortable over there, but we're wanting to be stretched. We want that stretching in our lives to kind of move in the purposes of God. Amen. And so this morning, we firstly want to make a decision. Which zone do we want to live in? There's always that tension to shrink back a bit, and there's always that tension to go into the panic zone. When you read further on through Genesis, Abraham and Sarah went into the panic zone regarding God's promise of a son. Instead of trusting him, living in the stretch zone and their faith being in God, Sarah said to Abraham, why don't you take my servant Hagar, my maidservant, and she can bear us a son. It's like that was not the comfort zone. They stepped into the panic zone. See, the panic zone says, I'm going to take things into my own hands and handle it myself because I don't see how God's going to do it in the stretch zone. So they panicked and they tried to preempt what God wanted to do and said, let's bring it about ourselves. And obviously there's consequences to doing things like that. So where do you want to live? Everyone in stretch zone, yeah. That's where we want to live, amen? Let's all stand up, shall we? God has created you to be a stretch zone person. Amen? Just turn to somebody next to you and say, you look like God's stretching you. Just look at them and say, you look like you want to live in the stretch zone. Now, we're going to pray very short. We're not going to have a long time of prayer. What I want to ask you guys, okay, is that for 2007, during this next week or two, before the end of the year, that you think, pray, ask the Lord, if you haven't already, ask him, think about stuff, something new, something that you're going to do next year, from the beginning of next year that you've not done before. I don't mean a New Year's resolution. I'm not going to drink Coca-Cola for the year or anything like that, you know. Or I'm going to make sure I put my right shoe on before my left one, you know, all this year because, you know, I'm not really, you know, I don't believe in that, but I'll do that anyway. You know, I don't mean that sort of thing. Or comb your hair the other way instead of this way, you know, for a year or whatever. But doing something active in your life. Okay, now I'm doing that at the moment, and I'll let you know in the new year what I'm doing. Okay, I've already got some things, but I'm not going to share now, so I'll let you know in the new year. Because I one of the ways in which it helps us to break out of, you know, sometimes you've got to hear me right here because this will be like heresy around here. So everybody's going to be listening now, all right, you know. Sometimes we think that we need the Holy Spirit to just go whack in our lives before we do something new. It's like, well, I hear what you're saying, praise the Lord, but I'm waiting for the Holy Spirit to kind of just shove me into it. Well, the Holy Spirit is leading us at this time. If we're trusting or being dependent on the Holy Spirit, then he will lead us. God will give us the encounters we need on the way, whatever's appropriate. But there's a trust in the Holy Spirit that is going to be needed during next year, where we're all going to be a little bit out of our depth, which is where God wants us. That's the stretch zone. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you that you have called us out of the comfort zone of our lives. Before we were saved, in one sense, we were comfortable in sin, although maybe many were panicking because of how their lives were going. Father, I thank you that you've taken us out of that life and you've brought us into your life. Father, I thank you that with the vision that you've given us as a church and the call and the purpose is for us not to live in a comfort zone, but in the stretch zone. Father, I thank you that we've got a history. We've got leaders who have led us in the stretch zone for many years. Father, we thank you that that's where you have us, but we want to continually live there and we want to be moving into things that not just that we know, but the things that you've got for us in this coming year that are unknown territory, unknown kind of steps that we're going to be taking in faith, knowing that you're going to come up trumps as you always do, Father. But I thank you that you've called us out of the comfort zone into the stretch zone. Father, I thank you you've called us away from the panic zone where we don't trust and we begin to freak out into that place where we do just trust you, however stretched we are. Father, I thank you for every person here. Father, I just ask you that over these next couple of weeks, you would drop something in each one of our hearts as we're thinking and praying about this. Because sometimes we just need to make decisions and say, right, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to step into this year. This is something that I believe God is saying. Now, what does that mean? What am I going to do? And these are the steps I'm going to take. Father, I thank you you want us to be people of decisions, not just thoughts and ideas. Father, you talk about us being doers of the word, not just listeners. We don't want to deceive ourselves just by thinking thoughts and thinking about stuff. Father, we want to be people who fulfill your word and see your word accomplished. So, Father, I thank you for the grace of this time, but I thank you for the next year is a year of extravagant grace and great favour. That we're going to be surprised at the things you do in our lives personally as well as corporately. You're going to shock us. And Father, I believe that the way you bless us as people, we're going to struggle with, wow, does God really want to bless us like that in the midst of what you're doing? We're going to see it, but yeah, that sometimes can even challenge us in the midst of it because you want to show us your goodness than how good you really are. You know, the goodness of God is about the glory of God. When Moses said to the Lord, let me see your glory, God didn't say, come up in the cleft of the rock and I'll show you my glory. He said, come up to the cleft of the rock and my goodness will pass by you. God wants to show us his goodness over Christmas and into the new year. And his goodness is his glory. There's a whole facet to God he's going to reveal into our lives and out beyond into other people's lives. So Father, I thank you for the stretch zone. Is that where you want to be? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise God. Just take a seat for a moment. We're going to... time.